Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Valiant Organics Limited, hosted by Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sinha.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the Q3 and nine-month earnings call of Valiant Organics. I would like to thank the management for giving us this opportunity. From the management, today we have with us Mr. Arvind Chheda, Managing Director, Mr. Mehak Chheda, Chief Financial Officer and Executive Director, and Mr. Mihir Shah, Senior Finance Manager. I now hand over the call to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rohit. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all at our earnings conference call for the third quarter of the financial year 2023. Let me firstly thank Sunidhi Securities for hosting this conference call and all the participants for joining us today. Our CFO, Mr. Mehak Chheda, will take you through the financials and operation highlights of the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this earnings call. I hope you had a chance to study our financials and earnings presentation, which we have uploaded on our website and exchanges. Let me start by briefing you on the company's financial performance on a consolidated basis for the third quarter and nine months ended of financial year 2023. The revenues from operations declined by around 13% on a YOY basis to around rupees 250 crores, primarily due to low demand from dyes and pigments and intermediates. The EBITDA was reported at rupees 38 crores, which declined by around 24% YOY. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter was 15.3%. The net profit reported was around rupees 26 crores, which declined by almost 19% on a YOY basis and increased by 2% over the previous quarter. This increase includes profit from the sale of land to subsidiary company for future expansion. Our PAT margins for the quarter was 10.42%. For the nine months ended, the revenue from operations stood at around rupees 780 crores, which was a decline by around 3% on a YOY basis, with EBITDA of rupees 112 crores, which was down by about 24%, and EBITDA margins were reported 14.35%. The net profit stood at about rupees 69 crores, and PAT margins were 8.79%. On other operational highlights in quarter three, financial year 2023, our PAP monthly average was more than 400 metric ton and is expected to reach 500 metric ton per month capacity in the coming quarter. And we also received approval for our pharma intermediaries project in January 2023, and the plant is now operational. With this, we can now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Parthiv from TS Builders Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the question. Sir, as I understand, previously you had mentioned that in your PAP production, as per the batch process, at 400 to 500 tons per month, you are optimum capacity. And only if you are successful in the continuous process, you can ramp it up to 1,000. Now, I don't see any commentary or anything in your presentation talking about the continuous process. So have you filled out the plans for the continuous process? And if so, now going ahead, PAT has such huge demand. Are we planning to increase further capacity in PAT through the manual batch process only, or like we are still trying with the continuous process?
Hi, Vasis. Yeah, so we are also trying out continuous, and at the same time, we are also seeing how we can make it semi-continuous. So that particular process is, the trial runs are going on for that. Even if we don't make it to a 100% fully continuous process, we'll probably be close at somewhere around semi-continuous process. Worst case scenario, we will also continue as batch process only, but we will be able to still manufacture and reach around 800 to 1,000 metric tons per month. Even whichever method we decide, we will still be able to achieve that.
So as I said, understand correct, even if you all were to go only with the batch process, with your existing capacity, assuming that you are not going to spend any further capex, you can debottleneck and ramp it up to 800 tons per month. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah. There won't be much additional capex that will go into it. We have already incorporated that capex in our planning. Even if we move from continuous to semi-continuous, it will happen in the same method, in the same capex. Not much will have an impact on the capex side.
And so what success are we having in the continuous process? Because if I recollect previously, the talk was that by quarter four onwards, you all were kind of confident that, you know, we should be in a position to talk about the success of the continuous process, and next year onwards, you know, it will be fully ramped up. So where are we at? Because, you know, this is a long pending thing, and, you know, with technical expertise from RP Group, you know, the markets and you all are very surprised that why we are not being able to pull this off.
No, I understand that. So we've maintained our comment that for the FY23, we are going to remain in stock in the batch process itself. And even if the continuous starts, it will start in phase-wise for FY24. So even if we don't move to 100% continuous, even if we move to semi-continuous, we are still positive on how that will pan out in the coming quarters. So for FY23, we will continue to remain in batch, and that has been our statement since last 2-3 quarters.
Yes, sir. I want to understand regarding your press release on Valiant Laboratories Limited and its IPO. Can you get an idea of what products fall under Valiant Laboratories Limited? What is like the current top line margins over there? And if I recollect, you know, you had this Bharat Chemicals as a subsidiary, and now you have this Valiant Laboratories. So how are these things connected? If you could help me connect the dots.
Bharat Chemicals name changed to Valiant Laboratories. So it's not two different companies, it's one company. And secondly, unfortunately, I will not be able to divulge any information regarding IPO or the product expansion. It is quite competitive in nature, so sorry for that. But at this moment, I won't be able to share any further details.
So if I can understand, sir, how does Valiant Laboratories IPO add value to Valiant Organization? If whatever value we are talking of, how much of that content will be? I'm just interested to know that.
That is all under discussion. It is we've just taken the board approval, but all the discussions are still happening. So at this point, commenting would be quite premature.
Okay. So one last question. Your Sarigam, I think, problem seems to be now over, and I think probably in this quarter also there would be some hit based on your past commentary. Going now into this quarter and also for next year, looking at the current raw material prices and chlorophenols, what is your sense as to what can we expect in terms of your revenue guidance for FY24, which also includes this PAP ramp-up, along with what sort of margin band you are looking to be more comfortable?
I'm sorry, your voice is not I can't understand how.
Mr. Patel, if your voice is muffled, I would request you to use your handset, sir.
Sure, I'll try something. Okay. Is my voice more clearer now?
Yes, sir. It's better. Please continue.
Great. Okay. So, sir, my last question is regarding, your current view on the margins, looking at the current raw material scenario and in chlorophenols, and also would love to hear some sort of guidance numbers for FY24 in terms of what revenue you are targeting and what sort of margin band you would be comfortable with, assuming that you're also ramping up your PAP.
Yes. So on the chlorophenol side, yes, the prices of RM, they are stabilized, and we are looking at you know, coming back on track with our chlorophenols in this quarter and the coming quarter. So for FY24, it will be as it was running earlier. As for on the some kind of guidance, we are for this year, we are looking at it to be flattish, somewhere around 900 to 950 crores only, because of you know, the textile, the dyes intermediates being low, and even Sarigam getting still ramped up. So we are looking at a flattish growth for this year. For FY24, we are expecting somewhere around 20-25% growth coming in from PAP ramping up, as well as pharma intermediates, etc.
If I can ask, the margin of
you're again not audible, sorry.
So the margin band, can you say it will be somewhere around between 20-22%, or should it be higher?
It will be somewhere around 18-20% on a conservative side.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to answer questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jayesh Mistry from Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediates. Please go ahead.
So good afternoon, everyone. I have a couple of questions related to debt, quarterly numbers, and future growth prospects. So what's the plan for debt reduction, and if we move open...
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Mistry, we are not able to understand anything because there is a fall of airy disturbance which is coming on your line. When you're speaking, I would request you to keep your mic a little bit far from your mouth and please...
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Yeah. So good afternoon, everyone. So I do have a couple of questions related to debt, your quarterly numbers, which is consolidated, and future growth prospects. So the first question is, what's the plan for debt reduction in your company? And if you move one step ahead, then any plan for becoming debt-free company? If yes, then what's your target? What's your target for this?
Okay, so our current debt situation is 113 crores of term loans, and we are not looking at taking further loans, any loans right now, at least not in the near future. Debt-free probably won't happen because we have a repayment schedule lined up until FY26. But our aim is to continue repaying and reduce our debt on that. If any future big capex come in, then we'll again look at... we look at some bit of term loan, but as of now, our cash flows, once PAP starts, we'll have a decent amount of accruals as well.
Okay. So I have just going through your consolidated numbers. So I have seen some kind of muted financial performance, both in margins as well as profitability front from last couple of quarters. So in same time, we have seen a sharp destruction in market cap also. So I think what's your take on these related to boost the confidence of long-term shareholders?
So I think I will not look at any market questions.
Something that
I cannot really control. But as far as shareholder interest is concerned, we are also dividend paying. We are looking at future growth. So once that comes in, we'll also increase our dividend payouts accordingly. And currently we are at a phase where we are ramping up all our projects where we've put in a lot of money. Once those stabilize, so once PAP stabilizes, pharma intermediate stabilizes, all of that stabilize, then we'll that the returns will be seen very clearly, and at that time, you know, I'm sure shareholders will be happy at that point.
Okay, thanks. So as keeping in mind India's specialty chemical market size and growth momentum, So this segment is growing fast in our country and is further expected to reach around, around 60 to 70 billion, please make me correct if I am wrong, billion by 2025. So as per the sources, so what are your views in terms of growth prospects and other expansion opportunities in your company coming 2 to 3 years down the line?
Definitely there are a lot of tailwinds. There is China plus one tailwind. There is overall just growth expected out of Indian chemical sector as well as specialty sector. So definitely a lot of positive growth prospect for that. And with the industry, even Valiant Organics also have those tailwinds to support us. It is positive. I would not be much worried about next couple of years later. What right now is the situation is where we need to kind of return back to, it's on the downside which we need to come up. But on a larger perspective, definitely there is good prospect for the industry overall. Specialty, agro, so we are in agro and dyes pigments, so that also is good. And pharma also has a lot of opportunity that will be seen in coming, half a decade or a decade.
Okay. Is there like what are the short?
Mr. Mishri, I'm sorry to interrupt,
yeah.
Sir. I would request you to rejoin the queue, please.
Thank sure, you. Sure, sure. No problem.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Shah from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for allowing me for my question. Two, three questions from my end. One is on the PAP side. Just wanted to understand about the PAP product and how do you foresee the contribution of PAP to total revenue in next 2 to 3 years in percentage term?
PAP is, since you asked for some background on PAP, PAP is a raw material that goes into paracetamol. So we are currently at around 400 plus metric tons production, and we aim to close the year around 500 metric tons a month. And going forward for the next year, we are hoping to, increase that phase-wise to reach the optimum capacity, which would be somewhere around 800, 850, 900 tons capacity production is what we are trying to achieve. On the contribution that comes out of PAP for this year is, for FY24, once it ramps up, it will be somewhere around 20 to 22% of our total revenue. And at full capacity, it may be somewhere around 30% of our full revenue.
Okay. And any competition do you see from a domestic market perspective?
Yeah, so there is competition from domestic market as well as imports, but most of our product goes to a subsidiary company in manufacturing paracetamol, so we don't likely need to worry too much on the market uptake. Even if our subsidiary takes about 85-90%, the 10% is what we have to sell in the market, which would not be that difficult a task.
Okay. And on the Valiant Laboratory side, can you update that when BRSP would be filed?
No, I really cannot speak anything on behalf of Valiant Laboratories.
All right. And from an investor perspective, if you look at the ROC, ROE numbers, they have been decreasing year on year. So how do you, gain investors' confidence on Valiant for a long-term perspective?
The returns have decreased on a couple of factors. One is that the market demand itself is down. So for this year, it was lower on dyes and pigment side. We also had a fire incident in our chlorophenol. So that also had an impact on our revenue and also profitability. So because of that, this year, I would say FY23 is not a year to be taken as a base. We definitely expect to return to our earlier ROE, ROA. and it will take a year or so once everything stabilizes. Once our new projects come in, you will see the returns also improving in next one or two years.
Right. That's it from mine. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Kori from Alpha Plus Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I had two questions. Our hydrogenation volumes fell by 8% sequentially. So can you share the reason for the same?
So one of our key products go into dyes intermediates in hydrogenation. So that industry demand is very low right now. So that is why the sales on that volume decreased. PAP also makes a part of the hydrogenation. That also had some bit of impact in one of the months. But overall, that is the only reason. It's dyes and pigments, which is the main reason why the volumes fell.
Understood. And what kind of feedbacks are we getting from customers regarding the order flow? Just trying to understand, is it better from the previous quarter or not?
This is with respect to which chemistry you're talking about?
Overall, I'm saying.
So overall, so in terms of chlorination products, you'll see the improvement in the current quarter. In terms of ammonolysis products or the products that go into dyes and intermediates, that will take probably a quarter or two to improve the situation. Much of it is dependent on Europe's situation also.
All right. Thank you, and that's all from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mustafa Haveliwala, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi, Max. I think the management has done a decent job over the past few years, especially on the top line front. We have a good top line growth on CAGR basis. What I see is what we are really struggling with is an EBITDA level or margin level since the start of fiscal 2022. I've heard Mac in one of the interviews with CNBC that stable margins should be somewhere in the range of 21 to 25. When I look at your 9-month revenue contribution or even the latest quarter, it seems like 75 to 80% of the share comes from chemistries like hydrogenation, ammonolysis and others. And when I look at the industry serve, it is majorly dyes and pigments. I just want to understand the demand outlook in the end user industry. I mean, dyes and pigment is a broad term. May I know which specific end users our customers come from, whether it is textiles, paints and coatings, plastic, paper, leather, etc. Whether this, it is a demand headwind, a supply demand mismatch where our customers may have excess supply and they are like destocking inventory, or are we at worst losing market share? That is the first. And a question tied to that would be, even though we say we are a chemical company with a diversified industry base, don't you think a majority of the share, I reckon 2/3 is dye pigments? And I understand that your chlorination volumes are subdued because of that Sarigram incident. And the ultimate question would be, what steps management is taking to de-risk the product mix? That's all.
Yeah, sure. So coming to your dyes, and we provide dyes and intermediates. So from what we understand, a majority of the dye goes into the textile. And if you check the product mix, it is, so ammonolysis, we have two plants of ammonolysis where we are, focused on that product itself. But our overall product mix is, it's in a transition right now. So hydrogenation is currently high because the chlorination was impacted. Chlorination will also come up, but hydrogenation will stay on the top because of the PAP, because of this sheer volume of PAP that we have invested in. So due to that, inclination on one chemistry seems higher, but that one chemistry goes into several end industries. It goes into dyes, pigments, it goes into pharma also. So two main and some bit in specialty overall as a specialty block. So that is one thing. Going forward also, we are looking at keeping our product mix in such a way that end industry usage is diversified. If you look in chemistry point of view, yes, you will find weightage on hydrogenation higher, followed by chlorination and ammonolysis. But on an end user, it is quite diversified in the current situation as well.
Just to follow up on that would be, I think the revenue share is, I understand where you're coming from when you talk about the chemistry point of view, but I still think that on the end user industry, we are quite more focused on the dyes and pigments. I see that the other volume, the other chemistry volumes are still 6%, followed by ammonization, which constitutes like 1/3 of your overall share, and this comes from dyes and pigments specifically. A good part of your hydrogenation is also going to dyes and pigments. So when it comes to the end user industry outlook, we are tied to the demand of the textile industry specifically, if I'm not wrong in saying that.
So if you look at the numbers this year, yes, what you are inferring or concluding is correct, because it is just that this year, because of chlorination, that overall dyes and pigments look larger. But if you look at FY22, it was almost equal. Hydrogenation, chlorination and ammonolysis all were at around 30% on a revenue basis. For last couple of quarters, the last three quarters, ammonolysis have remained stable. So that is why it looks as if the focus is there, or focus is on dyes and pigments. But overall, PAP, in fact, would be our largest product, which is in pharma and not dyes and intermediates. Chlorophenol as a product line itself is entirely agro. So once those come in, so if you should ideally look at FY22 numbers and probably look at FY24 when that happens. FY23, the current year, is more of an exceptional.
So just from a future outlook perspective, considering your product mix and dynamics in which the CAPEX that you have invested into, how do you see the outlook of the revenues would be in terms of end user industry? Going two, three years ahead down the line? And on the same thing, what would be the margins, the EBITDA level margins the company would try to aim, not at the short term, but on a medium to long term basis, based on your business model?
Sure. So on an end user, on a very rough basis, and not considering any new product.
Medium to long term.
In the long term, but no new product coming. So we continuously keep looking at newer products to add, and that could change our industry mix. But given that no new products will come, then at probably in a long term, pharma, which is PAP, may be somewhere around 25% to 30% total. Then overall, dyes and pigments may be somewhere around 20-25% again. And chlorination would be another approximately 25-30%. So that is where, which is agro basically. So your agro, dyes and pharma will take up the most part of it, and then there'll be the others side of it.
And the EBITDA margin, the long term, medium to long term basis.
So given the volatility, it's very difficult to put a number, but somewhere between 20-22% on a long term should be conservative enough for us to achieve.
That would be considering that the chlorination side of the business is giving 1/3 share to the...
Yes, yes.
Okay, and the chlorination is a more lucrative business than the other other process and chemistries, right?
It is overall. So chlorination, yes, it does have it, because there is an export factor to it. So it definitely overall on a profitability because of exports, it helps. But other products are also there, which are EBITDA margin accretive, and a few of them could be margin dilutive also. But overall, 20-22% can be achieved.
Thank you for answering all the questions, and good luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarun, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Okay, great. Thank you for taking up my question. My first question would be related to your Sarigram plant. So what is the status in terms of recouping from the fire incidents? Is it operating at the optimal capacity now? Or if not, then what is the timeline by which we really want to take it up to the previous capacity level?
So we had to ramp it up in a phased way. So last quarter was at around 58-60%, but going forward we will reach the optimum capacity in this quarter, 80-85% capacity utilization.
So fair to conclude that Q1 next year onwards it would be at the status quo utilization.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. Another question, and this is more to do with, say, a time frame of past 2 to 3 years onwards. See, what I have noticed is that across all three line of chemistry that you have predominantly operating into, the volumes have gone up, the realization has gone up, but the operating margin and subsequently the EBITDA margin has gone down at a consolidated level. So what really can explain this anomaly?
So yes, prices have gone up, so correspondingly raw material prices have also gone up. So that is the reason why you are not seeing a direct impact on margins. In fact, raw material prices increased faster, and also we have quarterly contracts, so it takes time for us to pass on the cost. So if you take last 1 year, if the raw material prices continue to keep rising, then we do have a lag in passing on that cost, so our margins for those that period looks diminished. And but once the raw material prices stabilizes, then in a quarter or so we pass it on, and then the margins will come back to what we were working on previously or somewhere around that.
I understand that margin lag in terms of typically a quarter or two is the time frame by which you are able to pass on. To be more precise about my question, see, I can take an example of your hydrogen mission business. What I do see is that your realization used to be around 107 for FY21. It moved up to 153 for 22. And for 9 months of this year, it is 247. Okay. So subsequently, the realization has improved very well, but correspondingly, it is not really going down into your EBITDA margin, etc. So on one hand, the volume is going up, but the realization is going up. So in that context, is it to infer that possibly, you know, the pass on in terms of the price increase, proportionately, we are not in a position to pass on? To some extent, we may be passing on, but not entirely.
No. So there are two things to look at it. One is the sharp increase in the volumes in hydrogenation is because last year there was negligible PAP. And that is a new product which has significantly increased in volume here. So you don't have a past product to really compare it with. So once PAP comes in the picture, the overall average also changes, which was not the case in the previous years. So that is one way to look at it. Second is, yes, the lag is another reason why the total cost is not being passed. So it is not being passed with a lag. But once you reach, once that stabilizes, we pass it on almost entirely to the customer. So it won't be correct to really do the analysis for last year versus this year, especially for hydrogenation, because there was a new product that was introduced.
PAP still would be a small part of the overall contribution. Not that significant to attribute and pull down the EBITDA entirely, right?
No, it can because it was increasing phase-wise, but your fixed cost remains there, right? So the new plant and entirely a new plant, so that fixed cost comes in. So on a total, on a company level, definitely it does have an impact. And you will see the positive impact once the final year, the year closes also. And if you look at if you see in future also the quarters, you will see the positive impact coming out of PAP.
Okay, thank you. Last question, and I can come back on the queue. Very connected to previous discussion that we were having on the RM price side. What is the situation there, and are we in a very firm view that considering the prevailing RM price, we would be able to achieve a EBITDA margin of, say, 17-18% that we alluded during the last call. as of
so,
today,
given the current situation, we are confident that RMs have stabilized, and if you and our margins will return. But on a annual basis, you have to take it with a pinch of salt, because there will be these three quarters that will pull the overall average down. So for even though the margins may be good enough for Q4, but on a annualized on a FY23 level, Q1, Q3 will pull us down on a total average. So that may not close at the 18% to 20% on a full year basis. But for the year after, we are confident that it should.
Sure. I'll come back to the queue. I have a couple of follow-up questions. I'll try to come back.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinny Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I wanted to get a sense of the strategy for new project selection, and if you all have any threshold return rates or return on equity parameters before we decide to get into new projects.
So we look at a couple of ways at it. It's just not the threshold percentage that we look at. One is we look at the overall synergy within the group. That is one thing. We look at import substitution. So if there is an opportunity to do that, then we look at that as well. And on a and like I said, the synergies within the group as well. So these are the two key points that we look at. And then, yes, we do have a threshold. We look at least a 15 to 18% return kind of for any project. But it's not just the threshold that we look at. It's an overall decision-making within the group.
Okay, sure. And sometime back, Mike, you mentioned in the call that we will expect to get back to the ROE and ROA levels of the past. But then you also mentioned that the long-term margins are likely to stabilize in the 22% range, which will be, about a fourth less than the peak margins that we were at, close to 30%. So just wanted to understand whether we are looking at a potential 30% plus ROE in the long term, or is that profile likely to change?
Well, it is when you say long term, yes, in future 2-3 years down the line, we are definitely looking to improve our ROEs. But right now we are at much lower than what we used to be in the past. So we are more focusing on getting to at least somewhere around 20-odd%. And then once that is achieved, we'll focus more on improving further.
All right, sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Jayesh Mistry from Asit C. Mehta Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving me an opportunity. So what are your short to mid-term view on upcoming products and generating revenue?
Sorry.
Some profit for next 1 year at least. For?
Not able to understand.
Sir, there is an airy disturbance which is coming along with your voice. I would request you to keep your mic a little bit farther from your mouth and speak, please.
Okay. So thanks for giving me an opportunity. And now am I audible?
Yes, better.
Yeah. So what are your short to medium term view on upcoming products and generating revenues? And from profit front also for coming 1 year, 1 to 2 years down the line?
So coming 1 to 2 years down the line, one is stabilizing PAP. So we need to ramp up and reach our optimum capacity. So one focuses on that, which will bring in volume as well as revenue increase. Second is we have pharma intermediates project, which started in January. So we will will increase in a phased manner. So it will probably take a quarter or so to stabilize. Then OAP is another product that we have been trying to do trial runs and achieve success. So that is also going on, which we are hoping that we should be able to have something in a quarter or two. So these are the three ongoing projects itself that we are focusing on. So in the short term, that is what will bring in the growth for the company. However, going forward, there are a few discussions ongoing right now on new product developments, some bit of expansion and chlorination. All of that will also come in, but that will be in the longer term, maybe 2 years later or so.
Okay. So my final question is like, as we already know that this sector is highly capital-intensive, right? So with a long payback period. And so in yesterday's budget also, they have Nirmala Sitharaman Shri have mentioned that regarding the to encourage the large capacity expansion in particular project and capital subsidies for investment. So what are your views on this, the upcoming budget front and for the company's future prospects?
So yes, you're right. There's definitely the industry's capital incentives. So there are subsidies and there are ways that we try to get our benefits out of that. A 4 to 5 years of payback period seems very in line with what she's saying. So that is true. So in terms of company directly, how it is affecting, we have already got into the capex and we've already expanded here. So it's on an immediate front, there's nothing that we're going to be there's not a big large capex like PAP that is going to come in for in near future, but probably 2-3 years down the line we may do that, and that will help us another subsidies or whatever. I think the budgets and everything will change by then, so I don't have a very put on this, but on the company's end, what I can say is that another year or so, we'll have better insight on our expansion plans.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin Damania from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead. Sir, we cannot hear you.
Now it's audible?
Yes, sir. Yes. Please continue.
So just want to understand on the margin front, I mean, as you said that the long run, we'll be doing a 22% odd margin. But on the current level of raw materials, have we seen any pressure on the realization across our product baskets?
So it's not directly margin. The price realizations have also come down. Along with that, our volumes have also come down because of the financial. So it's basically double impact which is being seen, and which why the margins look diminished. But it should improve in this quarter from at least on our chlorination side of it. And going forward, once our dyes intermediate, so two of our plants are dependent on dyes. So once that demand picks up, we will see some kind of mitigation on our margins as well, because right now they are not running at optimum capacity. So the margins kind of get squeezed on the fixed cost side of it.
Well, sir, I appreciate that point of view, but in your previous remark, you categorically said that dyes and pigment will take another couple of quarters to come back with a strong demand. So is it fair to assume that at least for another 6 to 9 months, as a company as a whole, we'll be somewhere into a lower teens in terms of the margin because of the hit on the overall fixed cost?
So that will basically what we were referring to is it will take a couple of quarters for the dyes and pigments products to come up, so that demand to come up. So yes, that will have a strain on our margins to that extent. But on an immediate basis, chlorination will help. It will be an improvement from previous quarters for next quarter or two, but the actual full improvement will be seen once dyes and pigments, or once Europe situation improves and their production levels increases, then it has an effect on our uptake also.
So chlorination, if I'm not wrong, in FY22 accounted for almost 29% of the revenue.
Correct.
So given the dyes and pigment which is not doing good, and you are saying that chlorination will help to drive the overall margins in the coming quarters, So can the 29% contribution to can go up to 35-40%, or can you help us in understanding the margin across your four products like ammonolysis, chlorination and hydrogenation separately to understand the business model more clearly?
So FY22, yes, chlorination was at 29-30% on our revenue contribution, but PAP is increasing, right? So there's a product in hydrogenation which is increasing quite aggressively. So that will eat up the portion of chlorination and ammonolysis together. So hydrogenation overall, you will see revenue contribution going up for hydrogenation, and chlorination also you will see going up because it was subdued in this year. So if you compare it with this year, it will go up. If you compare it with FY22, then it will be lower than that.
In terms of the margin profile for chlorination,
Mr. Zamani, I will request you to kindly rejoin the queue, please. There are many other participants who are waiting for their
last question, then I'll come back. Last question.
Okay, sir, please continue.
So, just continue to follow up earlier question. So, can you elaborate more on the margin profile for all the three products, chlorination, hydrogenation, and ammonolysis?
Because of competitive information, I really cannot share the margins.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Agarwal from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Good afternoon. My question was on the pharma intermediates. What CapEx should be commit to this project? And since we started in January, what is the asset turn we can do at peak potential of the peak utilization level?
So total pharma project, don't quote me, I mean I have to get into it, but somewhere around 80-85 crores that must have got done. And on asset turns, it will likely be lower currently because it's more of a pilot plant where we are experimenting if this product or if this way of operations work out for Valiant, and if that does, then we have more scope to expand into that. So on an immediate basis, the asset turns may be somewhere a little less than 1x, but it's with a potential to grow further.
So once we scale this plant up, which is probably a year out from here, or once we are able to, you know, move from pilot to lab scale or commercial scale, is 70-80% utilization fair enough to assume?
Yes.
80% have to assume. So does asset turn look like 1.52 times in that case?
Asset turn you're talking about?
Yes.
No, so like I said, it's a smaller plant right now, and we have put in this capex at a pilot level. So as of now, the products are still being identified, so the turnover can change. So it's a campaign-based plant where on a monthly basis products will change. It's a multi-product plant also. So to assume a fixed revenue would be difficult, but we are looking at asset turnover to be at least as close to 1x that we can, because it is still a very initial stage to comment. We are still setting up products, and like I said, it will change on month-on-month basis, so the top line will also change on month-on-month basis.
Understood. Any ballpark direction you can give us as to what therapies we are working on in these intermediates?
Sorry, on what?
Any therapies that, therapy indications that you can help us understand which products are we working on?
No. In fact, those products are quite classified. We are doing it for RT Pharma Labs, and the products are quite, it's confidential for us.
Fair enough. On the PAP side, what is the route that we take for making PAP? Is it phenol or PNCB route? This is for the batch processing. And once we move to semi-continuous or continuous route, remain the same?
It'll remain the same, yeah.
Understood. What is the pricing currently for PAPs?
Sorry, what is the?
Currently PAP prices.
close somewhere around 500 rupees a kg.
500 kgs. And what is the current import situation, if you can help us understand that?
Price-wise, it will be similar, but quantity or volume information I don't have at that point.
Okay, so price-wise is largely similar around what we are. Understood.
I mean, we have to be similar, but we have to be competitive. Right?
That's all from my side. I'll get back if I have it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from NV Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, earlier you had mentioned that when PAP plant is run on batch process, so it will not be able to reach 1000 metric ton level, but now you have said that by turning it even to semi-continuous, it can reach that level. So my first question is, based on the current scenario, can you give us an indication when that can be achieved? And second, since we can reach 1000 metric ton, will the EBITDA margin will be similar had it been run on continuous operation also?
On the timeline, cannot really give a very clear picture because we are still trying from continuous. We are also checking the semi-continuous process. So it is difficult to give the timeline, but we are hoping that by the end of next year we will try to reach the optimum capacity. And when I say 1000 metric tons of capacity, you have to take the factor of utilization also in there. So it's not that we'll be producing 1000 metric tons a month. We have to take a 80-85% capacity utilization, which is more like a optimum level. So that we are hoping to reach by Q4 next year. Be it in semi-continuous or batch process. And as far as the margins are concerned, it will have some impact, but we are doing those technical changes, and we will put in some kind of capex. Like I earlier said, that won't be much, but we'll be adding some capex to convert it into semi-continuous, which will not be significant. But once that is done, as long as we reach the metric ton or we reach the volume expectation, the margins will more or less be similar to the continuous process.
Now, the way you are saying, it makes it very clear that it will not be a continuous operation now. Is that understanding is correct?
We are trying to move to semi-continuous because it's been quite long that we've tried the full continuous. So now we are looking at the semi-continuous process.
So what you said is, when you run semi-continuous at optimum, maybe 80-85% capacity utilization you can reach, and that time, the margins would be what you could have achieved with the continuous operation.
Correct. So, what I'm trying to say is that we are trying to achieve the volume. So, whether continuous or semi-continuous, we are trying to achieve the optimum level of volume. So, once that is achieved, it will not have a significant impact on the margin as such. Only a little bit on the operational side, running for. Instead of continuous, it will run in batch. So there might be some implication, but it will not have a significant implication as long as we reach the capacity that we are looking for.
Okay, fair enough. So regarding OAP, what are the issues why it is getting delayed, and how many more months it will take to commission that plant?
OAP, we are facing some stabilization issues, so that is we are trying to resolve that. Unfortunately, it's been quite some time that we are trying to resolve it. Earlier, we were going via one route. Now we are experimenting via other route if that can be done. So it's quite work in progress right now. So very difficult to say by when we will commercially start. But we are getting some success in this in the other technical changes that have been done at the plant level. Whatever they've done, we've been seeing some success in the trial run, but it has not reached a phase where we can commercially operate. But to give a timeline would be you can take it with a pinch of salt. We are looking at closing at least this year, and for next quarter we can have next, as in Q1 next year, we can have some commercialization on the OAP side also.
Okay. Sir, you had given to someone's question that, you know, in a long-term scenario, you can achieve 20 to 22% operating, you know, margins down maybe 2 to 3 years down the line.
Correct.
So I wanted to know what would be the revenue generation, you know, when you run all these plants at optimum plant, you know, optimum capacity utilization. What is the revenue generation we can take at the prevailing prices?
So given the current situation, like I said, if you're not adding any more new products into the business, if ammonolysis continue as FY22, if chlorination also continues as it did in FY22, we are looking at you know, the addition of basically revenue addition coming out of mainly out of PAP and some bit of OAP and pharma. So overall, we can be somewhere around 1,300-1,400 crores two and a half years down the line, two to three years down the line.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Shah from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah, can you highlight the gross debt levels and can you split it into working capital and long-term debt as
so
of 31st December?
Around 113 crores term loan and about 112 crores of short term.
Okay. And in the chlorination plant, we expect this 4,000 plus volume from this quarter onwards?
Not this quarter, but from Q1 we can.
Oh, still this quarter we won't revert back.
Yeah, so it's again the customers are returning and we are getting orders. So Q4 will be better, but it will not be the 4,000 ton kind of return. That return will be seen from Q1.
Okay. And like overall, like you mentioned that, you know, there is some weakness in the end markets.
Yeah.
So any outlook you would like to share with respect to, you know, let's say your conversation with the customers or, you know, whatever is going on around in the world, like, you know, some of the competitors in China might be coming back and all of that. So any viewpoints you have to share on this?
So at a very high level, so we are looking, so as dyes and intermediates, we are looking at least another quarter or two for it to improve. So maybe half year will go and improve in that. What we also know is Europe, a lot of companies are either running at a very low capacity utilization or even shut down because of the issues there. So it will take some time for those markets to improve, and once they improve, we will improve. So probably another 6 months or so would go in that particular, you know, improving or reaching back to what it used to be. So that's on one of our markets, but agro is doing well. So that is stable, not much is moving in either direction. And pharma, with pharma, it's PAP for us. PAP, paracetamol, as it moves, PAP also. So given that, given the previous few years, the demand was very high due to COVID. Now it will probably stabilize. So that, not in terms of volume, but in price realization, it will subside. So these are the few high-level overviews that I can help with.
Okay. And last question, if I can. You know, I've been noticing that, you know, in every project, wherever we are trying to, you know, commercialize production, we are facing quite a lot of delays, okay, like OAP you mentioned just now to another participant, PAP like almost 2 years have passed. So like, have you all done an internal assessment team-wise that, you know, while selecting the product or the outcomes or the manufacturing lines that, you know, there is some problem at the planning level, or because, you know, sometimes if I think from an investor point of view, the delay of 1 year, 2 years, isn't it quite a lot?
I get your point. So definitely we do a technical analysis also, and we definitely do the the overall homework ourselves. We can't put in these many crores without doing that. We definitely do it. So on a laboratory level, they have all been very successful. It is when you commercialize it or when you scale up the plant, the issues start coming in, and that is what we are trying to resolve. These are quite tricky products. These are all import substitute. In fact, OAP, there is no other domestic player also in the country. So it's not an easy product that we are getting in. So it does take some time and some effort to do it. We were successful in the laboratory. It is just a question of scaling up and reaching, that desired quark specifications that we want. PAP also similar issue that we faced. Laboratory successful, but when you scale it up, the stabilization was an issue, the color was an issue, but we resolved that. So the focus earlier was on PAP, now it's on OAP, so it will happen. And as far as the pharma intermediate is concerned, the project was definitely on track in terms of whatever the company could do. It was a delay because of approvals actually took the delay. We were in fact ready in June itself. 6 months went by just waiting for the approval to come in. So that's what the three projects and the delay is about.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir, one thing on this PAP side, as you mentioned that currently whatever we are producing, almost 10% is what we are selling in the open market, and rest is going for that Avalanche lab. So going forward, as you are indicating that we are targeting to 800 plus or 1000 plus kind of volume, so in that case, what kind of supply would be for Valence lab, and are we placed enough for new customer, or how that will be done?
I didn't say 1000 plus. We in fact 1000 is the capacity. We will probably run at optimum of 80-85% capacity. Out of which almost 80% can be taken up by the subsidiary company. So it's a balance 20% that we would get into the market.
And that 20%, we have customers for that?
We have some customers, and it's an ongoing process. So it's not that from day one we can have, but we have other customers also even at this present situation. And while we speak, the marketing team is doing their, customer acquisition.
Okay. And secondly, on the pricing front, if you can highlight what the current pricing of PAP and paracetamol, and how has been the spread for us in this PAP side?
PAP is somewhere around 500. And plus minus, and paracetamol would be somewhere around 520-530.
And this is for, you can say, average of Q3 or it's the current price?
No, this is the current market prices that are going
on. Okay. And what would be the average for this on Q3?
I cannot say that for the company average, that I cannot diverge.
Okay. And one last question on this pharma side, as we got the approval and from January onwards, as you are mentioning that we are starting production. So how much that kind of revenue we should be expecting, and how we should be able to scale up those products?
So, like I said, it's a multi-product plant with 8 to 12 products, with each of them having a different pricing. So, very difficult to conclude at this point as to what would be the revenue, because it's again a campaign base. So one product can go on for 6 months straight. One product may come in only once in 6 months. So very difficult to say that for a multi-product plant. But we are hoping to, have 50-60 crore plus upward of revenue coming in. But that's also at a very, very high level that I am talking about, because now that the plant has started, they are setting up products. So it will probably quarter or two, and then I can have a better answer on what the top line looks like for this project.
Okay. And that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations manager at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.